This is Building Bridges, your community and labor report, produced and hosted by Mimi Rosenberg and Ken Nash.
Later on, New York State governor's budget attacks school children.
But first, a day of outrage as students rally at MTA headquarters protesting MetroCard cutbacks.
Over 1,000 students from across New York City protested a proposal passed by the Metropolitan Transportation Authority, MTA, board, 12-0 in favor of serious budget cuts to begin next year. Among the most critical effects of these budget cuts is the discontinuation of a program which provides free subway and bus fare cards, MetroCards, to more than 500,000 city students.
And I'm mad as hell and I can't take it anymore, and I'm not even a student, but I am. This is an outrageous plan. I certainly am. This is an outrageous plan which will hit poor families in the hardest and poorest areas the most, but it'll affect students across the board. And, you know, I have to say, as somebody who works at the Legal Aid Society, I can't tell you over the years how many people have been brought in because they literally couldn't afford to get on the subways and then have been criminalized for jumping turnstiles and other things. Yeah. Hey, what's it all about? They want an education. I'm mad as hell and I can't take it anymore. And I gather you folks didn't either. You had a day of outrage today as you rallied at the MTA headquarters protesting MetroCard cutbacks. And we are joined by, you are my brother?
Jordan Orvam, and I go to RC Lutheran High School.
Okay.
I'm Kyle Mayer, and I go to the Bronx High School of Science.
I'm Francine Prince, and I go to Iowa State Lutheran.
I'm Shireena Woods, and I go to Iowa State Lutheran.
So is there a reason why we should be angry about this? I'm being a little devil's advocate.
Why don't we start with you and tell us what the most horrendous part of this cutback is as far as you're concerned. Why did you go out there today? Why are we in front of the MTA headquarters?
I think the most, like you said, most horrendous part of it is that the fact that they're doing this at this time. Right now, they're cutting off students at MetroCards when, like they say, the economy and the recession is not in the best standpoint right now. So to have kids or their parents pay another $100 for them to go to school every year is a little ridiculous, or just to get to school.
Well, actually, I really do agree with Jordan because of the simple fact that right now we're in a recession, and it's like they have parents who try to get their kids the best education. And for you to have your child to pay for transportation and go to school, it's ridiculous. It really is crazy.
And also, when you really do add it all up, this is practically $1,000 for every single child for every single year to go to school.
Exactly.
And if you have two or three children, that's thousands of dollars every year just for to send your child to public school. That's outrageous.
And we've got my other sister there.
Yes, Francine.
By the way, you look a little blue. So were you out there protesting in the cold
today?
Yes, I was.
Okay.
And tell us about the demonstration today also. Tell us the reasons and tell us what it was like out there today.
It was really exciting. It was good to see a lot of students from different boroughs come out and support and protest against, you know, the MTA and them cutting up MetroCards. And they were really hyped and angry about the fact that MetroCards are being cut. I was there just to support Jordan and also to protest as well, because even though it's not going to affect me, it's still going to affect the younger generation coming up, and that's what's important too for a better future.
Yeah, but what do you care about the other folks? If it doesn't immediately hit you, so what?
It's still the fact that it's so unfair, though. It's like they're going to have
I have younger brothers and sisters, so even though I'll be getting out soon, they're still behind.
And you're saying you have a social consciousness? You care about other folks?
Yes, I really do.
Yes.
We go to a Lutheran high school, so they try to teach us Christian. they teach us Christian ethics.
And you're trying to apply it.
Yes.
That is the strange thing.
Kyle, you don't go to a Lutheran high school. What's your excuse in all of this?
He believes in science. In my case, actually, I'm only a sophomore in high school right now, so I will be directly affected if this all goes through by these cuts. And by the time I'm a senior, if this all goes through, then I won't be having any student MetroCard. Well, I live in downtown Manhattan, and I go to school up in the Bronx, which is about an hour commute each way. If I don't have the subway to take me to school, then it's going to either going to be a private bus, I guess. I guess we're going to have to work something out, which would take probably a couple hours to get all the way up. I mean, it's a long trip.
This is 500,000 students that we're talking about.
Yes.
Wow. It's a lot of folks. I want to know, like, you were protesting the MTA, but what do you think these cuts are all about? Are we supposed to say, oh, pity the poor MTA, there's nothing else they can do, the cutbacks in a rough fiscal time has to come out of the kids?
So even if they're suffering, that should be the last thing that they should be cutting. We kept chanting no transportation, no education all day today, and that's what it really is. On the site, on the Facebook page that I started, I noticed that a lot of kids were saying that they're going to hop the turnstiles or they're not going to go to school. And by hopping the turnstiles, they're going to start a chain event. That's a legal action, hopping the turnstiles. And they hop the turnstiles, they get arrested, and it's just downhill from there.
Exactly. I was on Facebook, I think it was this weekend, and I saw one of the girls posted that there'll be more people in jail than in schools. So just seeing that alone should make them wonder, worry about the future and what's to come if metro cards are cut.
This thing was all over Facebook. I mean, who was responsible for that?
That was me.
got me thinking, I got to get into Facebook.
But what was the value of Facebook in here, notwithstanding, because I have my own thoughts about
Facebook played a huge, it played one of the biggest parts in this, was that last week, Sunday, I went, read an article with my mother, and I thought it was unfair, so I started a Facebook group, invited only 130 of my friends. Mm-hmm. I keep saying this.
Only 130.
Only that tight little circle.
Of your friends.
So, and I really wasn't expecting all of them to respond immediately, but when I came home, 7,000 people had responded and confirmed membership.
So how was this rally? Okay, we got Facebook, and I have to be honest, because we've got a couple of parents sitting in the wings here, and
my mother has a Facebook.
They're passing me notes. Ask them how they put this rally together. Okay, that's exactly. How did you? Facebook was one part of it, but how did you get this all together?
Well, I didn't put it together. I think it was Jordan and
Kyle, how did you put it together?
Well, I noticed as soon as the proposal was passed and voted on 12-0, I was outraged, and I went to Jordan and I said, this is outrageous, and he told me he was planning a rally. So I got up on there, invited just a couple friends, 200 friends. and then
God, I feel lonely.
And then we started this on Tuesday, and then within the next couple of days, there were kids that were just... You know, the kids didn't even necessarily know about this, and that's the great thing about Facebook. You know, you can post links, you can post videos, kids can share their thoughts, they can rally together, and they can really unite, and it really just made us all like one force, and we came out today.
That was the good part about it. There was no drama outside. Everyone was together and fighting as one to get Metro Cards back, and that's what the good thing about today.
So what were the demands? What were the specific? What did you tell the MTA?
Don't get rid of them. That's
it. Oh, okay.
That was simple, clear, to the point.
And so if you saw Mayor Bloomberg or you saw Governor Patterson, and I mean, they're the ones who cut the funding to the MTA, actually, over the number of years. What would you say to them? They're going to say to you, well, we have to save money somewhere.
And my sister's smiling at the end?
Yes. One of the speakers made a good point today while we were down there. She had made the point that it's not really the MTA that is doing it, actually the federal and city government, the court and stuff like that, because of the simple fact that we're in a recession, right? And it's getting to the fact that it's like they're penalizing the student for what's going on.
Mm.
And it really shouldn't be that, because we can't work as kids. That's not our fault.
Of course, there are, you know, this is one way of them dealing with the budget cuts, but I think it's pretty obvious to most of us this is the worst thing they could do, because this is our future right here. This is this city's future, this nation's future. And by cutting off the kids' transportation, like we said, no transportation, no education. And when 1.1 million kids in these New York City public schools get disconnected from free transportation, this could lead to really bad things.
It's that chain effect. And like I said before, that chain effect, like kids, more people are going to be in jail than in school. Sorry.
Mm-hmm. You don't have to be sorry. He was banging for emphasis. Yeah. Why not? Why not? Yeah. Let me just ask you something. I mean, there's a lot of budget cuts. It's hard times. The only one who seems to be doing really well, the bankers and the banks seem to be making profits, and the proverbial poor
bail
get
out the
poorer.
Students, not the banks.
Oh, I like that. Yeah. You know,
that was a slogan today.
No, but we're going to go out
You've
with a couple
more
of
sense
slogans.
Than a lot of, most of the adults we've talked to.
But I want to know in terms of larger things. So where does this take you? What does this do for you as a person now? You've been involved in this protest. I don't know if it was the first protest. What do you think the value and the meaning of people socially coming together is to say, you know, something they're not doing right by us?
I think it's very valuable, honestly, because it's like we're not doing it for ourselves. Soon enough, we'll be long gone. It's the students that's coming up now that their parents are having a hard time. What about the people in projects? Mm-hmm. What about the parents who don't have enough money to pay for their kids' clothes. Now you're trying to make people pay for education.
Are you going to be a lawyer?
Well, it's been prophesied over me. This has been prophesied.
You
know, like,
you had some kind of vibe there that you can't.
No, I
said. You know, like Raina said, there are parents who are struggling. We go to a private school, and there are parents in our school who struggle to put money together so they give their kids a better education. I mean, like, there are parents in our school who are surviving on a weekly basis, on a weekly check, and for them to have try to get their kids a better education, it's like, okay, either get my kid a better education or get him to school in general.
So what's the next step?
Hearings. The MCA plans to have town hall meetings and hearings, and we are going to invade those hearings. We are
going to. I beg your pardon. I like that. Actually, I think they're the ones who are invading the hearings, and we have to be. Yes. No. Go ahead. I you don't have to raise your hand.
And I also want to say another great thing about this whole Facebook organization is that we can continue to update kids on this, and whatever we do plan on doing, looking ahead, kids will stay updated and they'll know what's happening. They'll know all the new news, and they'll stay there and they'll be able to support us.
Can I join the friendship circle?
Sure, why not?
Oh my God.
I've gotten a whole bunch of friend requests since I started this.
Anybody know when this first MTA hearing is going to be?
I think we're still waiting to hear the dates.
Okay, well, if they hear their show, they're going to delay that.
So I want to give each one of you about 10 seconds. Quick, let's go around. What do you want to tell our listeners? Jordan.
For those who are on Facebook who aren't a part of our protest site yet, join our protest group. It is called Protest the MTA Getting Rid of Student MetroCards.
Okay, Kyle.
We all understand that the MTA is short on money. We all understand that, but the fact is this is not the right way to deal with it. The last thing you want to do is destroy the education of the kids.
I just want to say to all those who have already supported, continue to support, because we need MetroCards, and it's for you guys. So.
And I want to say that you ought to think about those who are unfinancially blessed. A lot of people don't have that opportunity.
Now, I want you to think of two of or three of your favorite slogans today, and I want us to form a chorus here and to go out in unison. So what are we going to tell the MTA?
No transportation, no education.
Yes.
No.
Let's hear it. So tell them. One, two, three.
No transportation, no education.
Give us one other slogan that was out there to give us a sense of what happened.
What do we want?
MetroCards.
When do we want it?
Now.
Okay, let's do that with a little spiritual fervor here. What do we want?
MetroCards.
When do we want them?
Now.
What a spectacular group with two parents who are sitting over here, and how great it is that they support their youngsters who are out there trying to shape a future of peace and justice for the rest of us. Again, my very exuberant, charming, albeit a little blue from standing out in the cold, guests are
Jordan Orvam,
Kyle Mayer,
Francine Prince,
Shireena Wolf.
And I thank you all. And we're going to see you at the hearings. And I commend you for your strength, your vigor, your sense of social consciousness. You are our future, and it's a great future. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you. And I'm Ken Nash, telling everybody to join the Building Bridges Facebook. Go on, become our friends.
And we're going to go up. What are we going to say?
What do we want?
No transportation, no education.
One more time.
No transportation, no education.
You got it. Applause to you. Okay. Let's think about organizing. Governor Patterson's unilaterally withholding $750 million in scheduled payments to schools and local governments. The impact of these cuts on education statewide from kindergarten to college level will be devastating, especially in the poorer districts.
A coalition of New York State teacher unions and local school officials countered with a lawsuit against Patterson, arguing that his decision violated the New York State Constitution. Patterson argues cutback, while a broad coalition urges, among other things, tax the rich. We're joined now by Alan B. Lubin, Executive Vice President of the New York State United Teachers, and Jerry D. Pallast, Executive Director of the Campaign for Fiscal Equity.
Why don't we begin by really a sense of what these cuts will mean? Jerry?
It's important to step back and say that the Campaign for Fiscal Equity brought litigation where we spent 13 years demonstrating the severe under-resourcing of public schools for poor children. After getting a Court of Appeals decision in this state that said that we needed more money for these kids and that they're constitutionally guaranteed the opportunity for a sound basic education, and after getting an agreement in 2007 for $7 billion more over the next 4 years, we've now faced in this year a freeze on the promised money, attempted mid-year cuts which, while not successful, resulted in the advancing of federal stimulus money that we were holding for next year. And now we've seen these unilateral cuts that come as a result of delayed payments. The effect of this is to lay off teachers, to cut programs such as after-school programs, summer school, and to change the nature of the programming that's currently in place. We've seen over this last year class size go up, the localities in desperation supplanting or substituting state money for their own money. And what you see is instead of really building on the successes that we've had in order to say that this state is going to take responsibility for these kids, we see ourselves cutting back and cutting back, the achievement gap expanding. We really are left without a good direction here.
Alan, the effects statewide, including on colleges also, in addition to public schools.
The effects will be devastating, and they are already. Jerry properly pointed out that her group achieved a remarkable decision saying we need $7 billion more. We should get $7 billion more. It said we needed more than that. We've already lost $1 billion because that money was frozen. We anticipate no better when the governor makes his state of state address in January. We're looking at further cuts. The $750 million that he's talking about now, he is officially calling it a delayed payment, but it only takes about 2 seconds of questions for him to say, well, if there's no money, I will not pay it back. I'll turn it into a cut. So that is what prompted the lawsuit. A delayed payment for some districts was possible, but nobody in the state deals with the poor districts. The poor districts don't have a lot of reserves. Some do, most don't. And the reserves will quickly get used up when the state is standing by. We have a situation where we have a president who understands and comes forth with a stimulus and is now talking about providing more money for education, and a state governor that does not understand the value of the economic engine, the value of an education to higher salaries and everything else. The effects in the schools will be immediate. When you start closing down after-school programs immediately and when you stop funding teacher centers, and they've already taken a hit, another large group of schools that will take it's a small group that services the students who are deaf and the students who are blind. They're called 4201. They're already going to be given a 12.5% cut of unencumbered money right now. So when the governor talks about the value of education, the actions certainly don't show that. You take a young child who goes into school and finds his teacher is switched in February, in the middle of the school year, when you've had 5 months of work behind you, to turn around now and say, well, this program will be gone. The school psychologist, the reading teacher, all these programs that help bring this child to a level where he can achieve will be gone, not next year, not where it can be planned for, but right now, tomorrow.
But what we are told, and let's give due to at least the arguments that are put forth by Governor Patterson, who has now posited himself as the fiscal realist with extraordinary castigation of the legislature, who are the unrealists, who don't put forth anything. The funds are drying up. The revenue is decreasing. What is a poor governor who has to balance budgets to do? This is just a necessity, and there is no option. Jerry, is that the reality? What do we do about, obviously there are fiscal troubles, although you'd hardly know it from the profits of the banks these days, but what is a poor governor to do?
Well, I think what we have put on the table as CFE with NICET, the Broad Coalition of Education Advocates, is last year we put on the table a millionaire's tax. We did get something of a tax hike, not quite as high as we would have wanted. We presented a proposal for various revenues that the governor could use. He was reluctant to get started. There are rainy day funds to borrow from. There are a variety of short-term and long-term measures that could be taken, options that could be taken up that would provide alternatives to cutting the kids. We also think that what
that's
just happened.
That's a good slogan, by the
cutting
way.
The
cutting
kids.
The kids. I hate to say it, but it's sharp but effective.
The other thing that we need to think about is the reality is that education funding, because of the good work of CFE and the unions and its allies, is that poorer districts and poorer children get more money than the wealthier districts. And as a result, when you make these cuts, the cuts are deeper to the neediest. So I think we also have to take a look at how we – to continue to look at how we structure all of our funding to make sure that it is done in the most equitable way possible. We're concerned that the way the legislature and the governor dealt with the cuts in the legislative session was they didn't make direct cuts, but rather they advanced money from the stimulus. That means that gives us fewer dollars to play with next year. But I think we're going to have to take additional revenues, more equitable distribution of the funds, looking at ways not to cut the classroom to make sure that we don't really cut into our most valuable resource, which is our children. Remember, these kids, if they skip a year, it's a year in their lives. It isn't something that we can pay back.
Some savings that are available, Jerry mentioned that we offered them. We've been offering them for years. They're just not being listened to. When you talk about the state borrowing, the governor says, well, the bond ratings will be cut. We know that for a fact. The state has borrowed in the past in two or three fiscal crises, and their bond ratings were not dropped as a result of it. So I don't believe that's an automatic that's going to happen. We have the Wall Street bonuses. The governor took pleasure in going to Wall Street and praising the bonuses because they bring funds to the state. They bring tax money to the state. The reality is that bonuses are now being given in the form of stocks, which might not bring the tax money to the state. So one option is to tax the bonuses, whether it's cash or whether it's something else, and put it where it belongs. It's really part of these people's salaries. Just tell us what their salaries are. It's very hard for them to justify some of them, but just tell us what their salaries are and pay the appropriate tax. Don't agree to a tax write-off for the wealthiest, as they're trying to do with the Wall Street bonuses. Also, there are things that school districts can do to save money. We've been offering them. We've been talking about back-office purchasing. We have school districts with 7 children and a complete administration, 34 children and a complete administration, a large number of school districts in the state with 1 building and a superintendent and a principal and a school board. So there are methods of purchasing using group purchasing, which we all like to do. And the big one is the purchasing of prescription drugs and purchasing them through a cooperative as opposed to each county buying drugs, prescription drugs for their prisoners, each county buying prescription drugs for their schools, each county buying drugs for Medicaid. And you take that on and let the state combine the purchasing, use the power of negotiations, and save several $100 million a year that would help the schools tremendously. Those are 2 or 3 of the very obvious ways that the governor can and has not moved forward. Rather, he's moving forward on the side of fiscal conservatism as opposed to the valuing of education and the valuing of state work in all levels. We're dealing with education here, but you know, look what's happened to our universities in the past 2 years. This governor, 2 weeks after he made a speech at our convention saying higher education should be treated differently than other agencies, it's far too valuable to allow them to be cut just whenever we make an automatic agency cut. 2 weeks after he said that, he did it the first time. He's done it again, and he's proposing it again now.
Jerry, why do you think that there isn't a wider discussion on taxing the rich? Alan just talked about taxing the bonuses. I would say tax the bank profits, but 6 1/2 dozen the other. But why isn't this the discussion we're having rather than the discussion on cutback?
We had a major fight, as you know, last year, and there was a major campaign, and we, you know, after the governor resisted the taxation, we were able to raise the personal income tax to a degree. And I feel like because we're going into an election year, so many of our senators and assembly members feel like they gave the last time and they can't do it again politically. And I think it's going to take all of us to see what else we can do to re-raise those issues. I think it's incredibly important subject matter that has to be raised because there really is no alternative. It is a limited pot. I mean, the most we can hope, given that we do have to balance the budget in this state, is that the federal government will come through with an alternative stimulus. Otherwise, other than the kinds of savings that we and NYSED and others have proposed, the only other way to do it is to raise taxes. And I do think that we have to recognize that if you want to help the kids, the poorest kids, that Wall Street, if it's going to make a comeback, has to make its contribution.
And there's a lawsuit saying that there's a constitutional issue. We have a mandate under the state constitution to provide education. Tell us a little bit in the final moments that we have left about the challenge legally to Governor Patterson's cuts. And who wants to start? Alan?
The challenge is based on an Oneida decision several years ago, which said that the governor did not unilaterally have the right to cut what the legislators have placed in. And remember, we start with the governor's budget, proposing basically what the legislature did, and then that budget passed. You know, it was amended and passed, and now he's saying, well, I don't have to do this. I don't have to put the money in. So the lawsuit is based on the fact that once the legislature acts, we happen to have a tripartite legislature in New York, the governor is ignoring two-thirds of it. And that we feel that constitutionally he has no right to do it. And there has been one and I think two decisions that very clearly state he doesn't have the right to withhold the funds that come through his own budget once it's passed by the legislature. And this one was passed by the legislature.
Well, I think you should both adopt the slogan that you gave us, Jerry, cutting the kids, because that's what I feel like. If you limit the education to the youth community across the board, the youth community in the poorest sectors, you limit our future, and you certainly limit theirs. And that's what it really is all about. It is our most precious resource. So I applaud the continued good work of the Campaign for Fiscal Equity. Lo, these many years, I thought we finally had it, but there are many mountains to go. what, Alan?
And our brothers
and
sisters.
And
our brothers and sisters from NYSED and UFT, and in this case, I think the school boards and the superintendents, this is really a united effort to stand up for the kids.
And we also have the PTA for the first
PTA,
time in their history.
Right.
PTA board voted unanimously to support this lawsuit.
Then we're going to win. That's all there is to it.
That's all there is to it. We have no choice now.
Indeed. Alan Lubin, Executive Vice President of the New York State United Teachers, and Jerry Palace, Executive Director of the Campaign for Fiscal Equity. Thank you, most importantly, for your work, for joining us. We will keep on top of this, the most critical of issues. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you very much.
Well, this has been Building Bridges, your community and labor report with Mimi Rosenberg.
And Ken Nash. And log on to our new website at www.buildingbridgesradio.org.